Victor and Lois are siblings who were both diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. Lois lives and works in London, and Hector is a student living in Vienna. In their weekly podcast, Anxiety Calling, they'll be talking about different aspects of living with generalized anxiety disorder and how they get by in day-to-day life.
Welcome to part two of episode 23. I'm Hector.
And I'm Lois. And today we're going to be carrying on with COVID-19. Something I wanted to ask you, actually, because I was just thinking about this, was sometimes I feel like I can't remember what it was like before this. I was wondering, like, do you sometimes feel the same way that you can't even remember?
Yeah, I literally can't remember. I don't know what life felt like. Well, yeah. Normal in quotes is whatever. I don't remember what it felt like. No, and seeing TV shows or films or paintings, even or anything where people aren't wearing a mask in public or touching each other, or it just gives me a strange feeling because it just feels unnatural, even though it's only been a year. And or if I accidentally go out without a mask. Just the other day, I walked into the building of the office, and I was very distracted, and somehow I just forgot to put back my mask on. Mm. I bumped into a colleague, and then I suddenly realized I'm naked, basically.
Yeah.
And no, I don't remember what it felt like before. I don't really know what it's like to just go into a cafe anymore. What it feels like. I sort of know what it feels like, but not really.
It's really weird because, like, sometimes my partner will be like, oh, do you remember when we used to do this or whatever? And I'd be like, no, it never happened. It was all a dream. I can't even remember what that.
I mean, there's probably some sort of psychological thing going on where just the human brain takes a particular amount of time to get used to something and then just sort of forgets many other things. But that's how your brain also works. You actually stop using things that you don't need in your brain. And I'm sure that lots of social interaction things, because you don't need them right now, they're just dying inside our brain. So the neuron connections are just, disappearing.
It is weird.
So I don't know, but yeah.
One thing I've noticed in particular is how overwhelmed, because I've always been overwhelmed by going out and being in crowds and stuff, right?
Mm.
But right now things are sort of opening up again a bit, non-essential retail is open again. You can go to restaurants, but you can only sit outside. I think you're allowed to meet up to 6 people or something like that. But all outside, right? And one thing that I've always been kind of overwhelmed by too many crowds and stuff, but I've noticed that it's gotten significantly worse now.
Mm.
And we went out on, I can't remember what day it was, probably Saturday. We went over to Shoreditch, which is quite close to here. And there was there's a little market thing there that had been very, only very few shops. It's has little food stands and stuff in it. And it'd been very, only very few had been open while we were still in sort of semi-lockdown, but then everything was completely open again. And I hadn't seen it like that for a long time. And there was just so many people and there was so much happening, And it was really, really, really overwhelming. And I've noticed how the sound, I'm so much more sensitive to the sound than I used to be. Mm. And I always was sensitive. That's the thing. I've always been sensitive to this kind of stuff, but it's gotten significantly worse. Or once we were going to visit,
my tolerance level has changed.
Yeah, you know? My tolerance level is even lower than it was before. And there was a time when we went, it was last summer, and we were allowed to visit people in their homes. And we were going to visit some friends who live in Shoreditch, so quite close. But Shoreditch High Street is really, really loud. And then there was a siren going off and stuff. And I nearly had to throw up because I was so overwhelmed by everything that was happening. And I actually did throw up later that evening.
Mm.
When we got home and I just suddenly spontaneously threw up. And there was no reason. I didn't drink too much or anything like that. Or I didn't eat anything weird, but I was so overwhelmed by everything that had happened that I had to be sick, which is really weird.
Mm.
And so that's something I've definitely noticed is that's I can't, things like I can't remember what things were like before. And that when I do something that sort of like is more back to normal, quote unquote, than it was, has been in the last year, that it's incredibly overwhelming for me.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, today in Austria, they opened up the shops again and the hairdressers and all that. And I did go and get a haircut because it'd been an awful long time. And I drove my bike down the high street on my way. Mm-hmm. And it was very strange to see that many people out again. But, I mean, in Austria, they've been opening, closing all the time. Somehow I got used to that sort of thing of sometimes being able to go into a shop and buy socks and sometimes not. And I think, to answer your question more accurately, I would say, I think, yes, I mean, I really don't remember what it used to be like. And I've sort of got used to this, to how it is now, but I'm somehow not, it doesn't really bother me, to be honest, anymore. It really doesn't bother me somehow.
No, it doesn't bother me.
I don't know why exactly, I mean, but it's sort of, it stopped bothering me. Mm. And it's not like a sort of resigned feeling. It's I don't know what it is exactly. It's just,
I think it's kind of the way humans, I think it might be something that's kind of programmed into us. So it's like a survival mode thing. Like you get used to anything.
Maybe, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not even like a thing is like, I feel like at the end of the day, like it's not, for me personally, obviously everyone will react differently and some people will suffer a lot harder under the new circumstances that, you know, are at the moment, and others will find it easier to cope with. For me personally, it's not that hard. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I get sad and I miss things that I used to be able to do. Like, I think, I don't know, sometimes I've missed restaurants sometimes, but like, you know, it's not the end of the world. Like, but there has
just,
been.
I just order all the food at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I do too. But there have been moments where I was like, I miss that.
It'd be nice sitting in a restaurant. But.
Yeah, just like meeting someone and going for a coffee. You know, just like that kind of. And not, I think one big issue for me as well is like there are lots of places where you can like take something to go, but I need to pee all the time, right? Mm. And if I can't go somewhere and have access to a toilet, there's no point in me doing it. And so there were all these scenarios where it's like, oh, we can meet up in a park and hang out. And like, yeah, okay, but what about when I need to pee? Then what? You know, then I basically have to go all the way home to pee.
Yeah,
that's difficult. And so, yeah, I think there've been moments where I've missed things, where I have missed things, or been like, you know, I do. Yeah, it has been something that I've been sad about from time to time, but it hasn't impacted me too much. But I think also like I've been lucky in that respect of like, for one thing, able to cope with things or find it easier to cope with not having to go out a lot. Because of my slightly antisocial nature. But also like I haven't been alone, I guess. You know, I think I would have struggled very much if I had been alone.
I think maybe I'm just not noticing at the moment, because even if I were able to go out in the evening after work, I'm so knackered that I just do nothing or go to sleep. Yeah. So I don't even notice that everything's closed, because I'm the whole day I'm in the facility, as it were.
Yeah.
Which is like an own sort of little city because it's so big. And then outside of that, I sleep, you know. So maybe that's why I don't notice it so much.
I think my last big meltdown, because so here's something that has been quite hard here, is that the rules change all the time. And there was a phase where they were changing on literally a daily basis. It was like, okay, you can meet 5 people. Now you can meet 4 people. You can meet like this many people, but only outside. You can go to a pub, but only with people you live with. And you can only go if you're going to order a meal, you know? Mm. And I think like the idea was so people didn't get completely munted and then like get too close to each other. But the thing is like that didn't work. I saw tables of 10 people. You're not telling me that 10 people live together. 10 people in their 30s are not living together. And they were completely wasted despite having eaten a substantial meal and were not like, you know, sticking to social distance stuff and everything. And like, it just wasn't really working. So there were all these rules, but no one was really following them and no one was really able to enforce them either, because like, I think as far as like the bars and restaurants were concerned, they really wanted to make money because they were struggling so hard. So they weren't going to, if they say at the door, do you all live together and it's 10 people and they say yes, then they're just going to let them in, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So that was, and that was kind of like, there's always been these weird rules. There've been rules like, oh, you can meet someone at home, or you know, you can't meet them at home, you can only meet them outside. And that would change like on a daily, sometimes weekly basis. And
I think in the UK it was even more confusing than in other places.
Yeah, it really was.
What I read so far.
Every day, there was a time where like every day there would be like, you know, the coronavirus press conference thing where Boris Johnson would come along and like say his things, and then there would be these new rules, and now sometimes he would get the rules wrong himself, and then the health experts would have to correct him subsequently with like on the BBC or whatever. Or on like social media or wherever. And it was just incredibly confusing. I never knew what the rules were, so I just didn't know what I was able to do and what I wasn't able to do.
And I mean, that is a problem here as well, though, because I mean, it's not as bad as in the UK from what I could understand, but it is sometimes quite confusing. And there are places, there are places where you have to wear an FFP2 mask and places you don't have to wear an FFP2 mask. Yeah. I just wear an FFP2 mask all the time because it's more stressful to work out where I'm allowed to wear that kind of mask and wear a different kind of mask. So I just wear the FFP2 mask all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And other than that, there were times they shifted the time when you're about, we have like a curfew here.
Yeah, we never had a curfew.
And for a while it was all day, then it was after 8 p.m. And now it's basically all day, but no one really does it. But starting today, it's after 8 p.m. until 6 a.m. There's a curfew. It's very confusing.
Yeah, so like sometimes I'd be worried, like, I don't know if I'm breaking the rules or not. I don't want to break the rules, obviously. But then I'm like, so that's like always been like a worry of like accidentally breaking the rules, you know.
And whenever I see a police car, I think, wait a minute, am I actually breaking a corona law right now? Because I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah.
And they are quite high fines here in Austria for breaking
like,
the
rules. There are here too, in theory. I think it's like it used to be like a couple hundred, and now it's like 1,000 or something like that. And now if you like try to leave the country at this point, it's like 5,000 fine.
Even if you're vaccinated or visiting families.
£5,000 fine. Okay.
Not allowed to leave the country.
Right. It's a £5,000 fine if you leave the country. I think it depends if you are a resident of the other. Because like I have both passports, right? I have the German passport. I'm pretty sure
you could go to Germany. Yeah.
I could go to Germany. I would probably have to like quarantine and stuff, and then I'd have to quarantine there, and I'd have to quarantine when I came back, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I could because I have a German passport, right? So I'm pretty sure you're allowed to travel to a place if you are a resident of the country.
Yeah.
But if you are not and you're just trying to go on holiday, that is a £5,000 fine. What was I going to say? Yeah, so I remember once, like, we were allowed to walk wherever. We weren't really supposed to be using public transport, which we didn't, but we were allowed to walk around and stuff. And, you know, you wear your masks and you stay socially distant. So one time we walked up to central London, took us, like, hours. But we walked, we didn't take the train or anything, and, you know, but then we were in central, it was very empty and stuff, but we saw some police officers, and I was like, oh, my God, hang on a minute. Are we actually allowed to be here? Like, are we, have we broken any rules? And I was like really worried about getting stopped and like asked about like what I'm doing, you know? So they didn't, because we weren't doing it. They didn't care. We weren't doing anything wrong. We were, you know, hanging out. We were wearing our masks. We weren't like in a group of people, and we also weren't trying to use public transport. So we were fine. But there was, yeah, there's been so many phases where and where the rules would just like change, and like it's the timelines keep changing as well, of like, okay, by now you'll be able to do this, by then you'll be able to do that, and then things do often change, and that has been quite hard because I just never know what the right thing to do is at any given time. I think my last like big meltdown would have been around Christmas, because so at the time So my partner's from America, and he was going to go to America for about 10 days of Christmas, because, you know, he was able to travel at that time, and things in America were like easing a little bit. So he did decide to go see his family over Christmas. And I was fine with that because, you know, we had been kind of on top of each other for a year at that point, or almost a year in the one bedroom flat. And I was, you know, thought it would be okay. Also because, like, at that point, like, I do have some friends here in London, and I figured, well, you know, if I get lonely, I can see them, because we were in lockdown, but we were allowed to meet other people still. So I think it was tier three or something like that. That's what it was called. But we were allowed to, I can't remember what tier we were in, but we were definitely allowed to see people, right? And then basically, like, the second he left the country, that changed, and we were suddenly in a tier that didn't exist before. There were only three tiers beforehand. There were three tiers, and suddenly we jumped to tier four. And I completely freaked out, because then basically we weren't allowed to see anyone. We were only allowed to, you know, go out to go to the shops. We weren't allowed to meet anyone. We weren't really allowed to do anything. And then I just really panicked, because I was suddenly realized, like, oh my God, I'm going to be inside by myself, for 10 days, and I can't see anyone if I need them. Like, if I get into one of my depressive phases, then I won't be able to get anyone to help me. And so I did really, really freak out for about 2 days, I think. But then I was, like, really, like, upset with my friend. Like, how could you leave me? How could you go away and leave me in tier four? But then actually I realized 10 days is not that long to be by yourself. If, you know, cause I'm not by myself usually. And, you know, because I live with my partner, but I've noticed that actually was fine. But my first reaction was to completely freak out at first, because it was also the first time I'd been alone for almost a year. And I was worried it wasn't going to be as easy as I thought it would be. And so my initial reaction there was to really, 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 I got really, really scared because it was also something new. There was no tier four. There were only three tiers. The tier four didn't exist as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
You know, and then suddenly out of nowhere, it suddenly popped up, and that was really jarring. So that was probably my last, like, big COVID-19 freak out.
One experience that I found interesting or special, and something which is maybe a good experience for some people to experience. I mean, obviously, from a privileged point of view, I mean, we have a British and German passport, which means we can go basically anywhere in the world we want to go at all times. We could suddenly to not even be able to. So there was a time when I wasn't sure whether I'd be able to leave Austria to visit, you know, family in Germany, because they closed the borders, they stopped running trains. You know, that was a very strange experience. And I think, I mean, it's not, how should I say this, but I think it's a good thing to experience, because then you suddenly realize how probably a large part of the many, many, many people in the world who don't have the right passport, as it were, how it is, you know, that you can't move freely through the world like we can. And
absolutely.
That was
people don't have passports,
and that was
displaced, you know.
And of course, you can't compare that. Like, I'm not comparing. I'm just saying that somehow, I think it was sort of somehow opened my eyes, because that was the thought that came to my mind. I suddenly really thought, okay, well, this is, you know, comes maybe closer to what it feels like not being able to move freely and travel and see your family or whatever.
Yeah.
And when I did cross the borders, that was always connected with lots of bureaucracy and lots of conversations with the police, and some were nice, some were less nice. I had a quite bad experience with two German police officers recently when I was crossing into Germany. I think they were just bored, or they just didn't like me. I don't know what it was. But this is something which we hadn't, obviously none of us in Europe or in other parts of the world who are more privileged, as it were, experienced. And my hope was that maybe it would, you know, make some people more sensitive to how difficult it can be if you don't have the right passport. I'm not sure if it did, but
I think some people it did.
Some people it did, yeah.
It did definitely really sort of show me, like, how easy I've had it all my life.
Mm.
You know what I mean? kind of like I could just basically at any time go anywhere I wanted, you know, and do anything I wanted at all times, you know.
Mm.
And I think that obviously there is no comparison, but to you know what it's like to be displaced or like not have your passport and be trying to, let's, you know, get refuge somewhere and being stuck somewhere in like a refugee camp and like literally not being able to leave, you know,
or trying to migrate somewhere.
Exactly. I mean, there's no comparison because like we've had, you know, we had the privilege of being in a lot of us did, especially in like from a very Western perspective, like especially people who are not living like, you know, below the poverty line and stuff, because a lot of people were struggling very, very hard, even in countries like the UK. Like we talked about the children who were not getting access to free school meals and the government wasn't doing anything to help them.
Yeah.
And then the whole Marcus, you know, Rashford thing, where he was trying to get school meals to children and the government just shut it down. So even in the most privileged and richest countries, you have people who are living below the poverty line who really, really struggled and suffered tremendously during this crisis. That's another reason why I'm like, I was one of the incredibly lucky people throughout this entire thing. Because like even being confined in the flat, like, yes, it's a small flat and it's not a lot of space, but I had all of the luxuries of living in a flat, having access to heating, to running water, to any streaming service I could possibly want, you know, and, you know, enough food and everything. So like at the end of the day, it hasn't been the best year of my life, but it's been, I have been one of the lucky ones, you know?
Mm.
So it has reminded me much more of like of how privileged I am, because like even though, yeah, when we were growing up, I mean, our parents aren't rich or anything like that, we didn't have like super, super luxury life, and yes, we've been working since we were quite young, but I am very, very lucky, actually, you know.
No, yeah, I mean, of course we are lucky in some ways. I mean, there were, you know, people who haven't been able to see their families or even, you know, even couples haven't been able to see each other for months on end during the pandemic. And
like I haven't traveled. I mean, I haven't left the country. I haven't left the country since, I think it was February 2020 was the last time I left the UK. So I've been in the UK all the time. I didn't travel anywhere. I didn't, because I saw so many people, like, something I just don't understand. I saw so many people just, like, going on holiday. Like, how were they going? Like, how was that happening? Because there was a phase where it was kind of, like, things did ease a bit and you could leave the country. But I was kind of, like, you weren't supposed to if you didn't have to, you know? And I can understand going to see your family when you can. That makes sense to me. But just going off to Greece for a holiday, you know? That just, like, I don't know. I didn't understand that. That was because I mean, I don't know. I haven't felt comfortable leaving the country throughout all of this, because if you're doing it for work or whatever, I didn't feel like I was able to, because also like the worry of getting stuck somewhere. So like, because every day the rules were changing, I didn't know if I went to Munich to see our family, right? I didn't know if suddenly the borders wouldn't close. Right. And then I would be in Germany and I wouldn't be able to come back to the UK.
Yeah, I was worried about that too.
To see my partner. And I didn't want to risk leaving him by himself in the UK, you know, that would have been terrible.
Mm.
Yeah, I
worried about that too. And like I said, I think that was sort of a unique experience so far in my life that I hadn't experienced until then and hadn't really been aware of so much. And
yeah, I feel like a lot of people for the first time in their life have been like inconvenienced, and a lot of people did not handle it very well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, yeah, a lot didn't handle it well. And I mean, there are lots of very different opinions on this. And obviously there are people who are very, take the inconveniences very badly.
Yeah.
And
like, some things I just didn't understand. Like, I didn't understand the protests that went on, and they went on all over the world about wearing masks.
Mm.
we had them here as well. They were very big in America, people protesting about wearing masks. I think in Germany it happened too, didn't it?
Yeah, no, it happens everywhere. I think it's a global phenomenon. And I mean, to be honest, I feel quite comfortable with a mask.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, even before COVID, there were times when I was traveling.
Yeah.
When I thought, okay, maybe, you know, it wouldn't be bad to have, I mean, you know, if I think about, you know, when I visited you in London last time, we were like crammed into the,
oh, God.
I was literally touching five people and they were pressing their genitals against me. And you know, it was, you know, just smelling people's breath and people sneezing and coughing all over you. That is what going on the tube was like. And they were, so having those were, in hindsight, I think, wow, I think maybe even after the pandemic, there will be special travel situations where I will wear an FFP2 mask.
Yeah, like I'm honestly, before all of this, there were many times in the tube where I felt like I would quite like to wear a mask. And I did see people sometimes wearing them and I was kind of like, you know what? Maybe I should do that. But I was like, I guess a part of me was worried that everyone else would think I had some kind of terrible disease and I would freak people out, right? If I wore a mask. But actually, I think most people who I saw wearing masks before the pandemic were probably trying to protect themselves from, you know, any kind of illness. Because it also just makes perfect sense, especially in really, really crowded cities. And London is a really crowded city. Like,
I mean, there are countries where people were wearing masks for a long time before COVID.
Yeah, all the time, especially on like public transport and stuff, they will wear masks. Yeah. Also because of like, I don't know, smog and stuff, but also because of being in very, very tight, you know, tightly crammed public transport. It makes perfect sense. And so that is something I don't like. At first it did feel very weird when I first started wearing masks. It was a new experience I hadn't really ever experienced before.
I also like the anonymousness
anonymity.
Wow, I liked feeling sort of not recognizable and, you know, not having to just arrange my face in any kind of way.
Yeah, I feel like it's sometimes, you know, I don't know. I feel like
it does like them. It's not bad if you're anxious in sort of social situations or people you don't know. You don't have to, you know, you don't really have to fake a smile or something. I mean,
okay,
people say, I can see if your eyes are smiling, but you know, it's not, you can't see as much behind the mask.
You can't, like I can just smile with my eyes now because of wearing masks. Like if I go into a shop, I want to be like friendly to the staff and everything. So I give them an eye smile, you know, anyway, but yeah, no, absolutely. I do think at the very beginning, when I first started wearing a mask, it did make me feel slightly claustrophobic, and it did take a bit of getting used to. Now I don't mind it at all. Unless I'm feeling nauseous, then it is a bit difficult because I'm really worried about throwing up into the mask.
I don't even notice the mask anymore. But the thing is, okay, I wear it 10 hours a day.
You wear it all the day at work. Yeah,
but yeah, I think at the beginning it did feel different, but now I really don't care. It doesn't, you know, I don't notice, it doesn't bother me. And
I have this, it's a similar feeling to sunglasses. I quite like sunglasses because they give you a certain amount of anonymity as well. It's like your eyes being covered is quite relaxing in a way.
But sunglasses and a mask is too much for me somehow. I can't.
That is a lot.
And headphones, then I just feel doesn't work for me, and also they steam up.
Yes, I don't like wearing glasses and or sunglasses and a mask because they steam up, and that is a bit annoying. But I like having either or, and yeah, covering part of my face, it is sometimes quite a freeing feeling, which is quite ironic. But yeah, it does feel quite freeing to be able to cover your face because usually it's weird to cover your face, right? But it's a funny thing in theatre as well. I noticed this, like, because I used to do Commedia, and Commedia is quite like over the top in the way you act and very like unnatural in a way. And sometimes it's quite hard, but the second you put the masks on, it makes it 10 times easier to be ridiculous when you're wearing a mask.
Yeah. I mean, I did notice that also when I was working when I started working in the testing facility, and I was literally only doing the tests before I started doing other tasks. Somehow having only my eyes visible and knowing you couldn't even see the shape of my body even properly was quite nice in a way, because I just felt like I mean, it wasn't like on the internet where, you know, it wasn't like where people say whatever they want, but it felt like I could be more candid somehow because no one really, you know, no one really knew who I was. And I wouldn't be rude or offensive or anything like that. But it was sort of like I could be somehow more friendly than than.
Because you've got like an extra protective layer.
Yeah, it felt like a sort of protective layer. And I just talked more openly with all the other people working there who also didn't know what they actually looked like, and with the customers, because it felt like I could be more free and more open, and it didn't even matter, you know, because no one knew who I was somehow.
Yeah.
That was quite fun in a way as well, I have to say.
Yeah, I think I understand what you mean. Yeah, that's something that, like, honestly, like, that was, to me, I don't know, it just seemed like such a small thing you have to change. And so many people all over the world do this all the time and have been doing for years and years and years. Like, I didn't understand. Like, I can understand people saying that they personally don't really like wearing the mask, or that they find it uncomfortable, or that it just, you know, they don't really like it. I understand that 100%. But I don't understand not liking it to the extent of protesting it and refusing to wear a mask, and then just going into a shop and refusing to wear a mask and, like, screaming at people who try to get you to wear a mask, you know? I don't feel oppressed by wearing a mask, let's put it that way. I don't feel oppressed by it. It feels like a sensible thing to do for me and for everyone around me.
Yeah, I mean, it has been proven to reduce the cases, as it were, and thus save lives.
Are you feeling stressed, anxious, tired, but wired and just out of it? Hi, it's Jim. I used to be just like you, but then I discovered Anxiety Calling. Lois and Hector are assholes. Oops. Did I say assholes? I meant siblings who discuss their personal experiences in their podcast, Anxiety Calling. Listen to Anxiety Calling for secondhand embarrassment, bad advice, disturbing anecdotes, and off-topic rambling from unsound minds. Ask your doctor or therapist before using Anxiety Calling, because these two sure as hell are not mental health professionals. Any advice or information given in this podcast is based on their personal experiences meant to raise awareness, help, and stigma of mental illness. Possible side effects may include boredom, chronic cringe, mental diarrhea, actual diarrhea, erectile dysfunction, and fatigue. Some listeners have reported never wanting to listen to Anxiety Calling again. But what's the best thing about Anxiety Calling? It's free! Start listening today. This message has been brought to you by Jib, the Disclaimer Dude.
Listeners, I've become so much more sensitive to hearing anyone sneeze or cough. The other day I was in the gym, and we're only allowed to be 5 people at a time in the gym, right? And which is pretty cool for me, because it's a small gym and, you know, I don't really like it if it's too crowded. But anyway, so there are only 5 people in there at a time. And there were only like 2 of us there, me and this other person. And that person was like coughing all over all of the equipment, and it was making me deeply, deeply, deeply uncomfortable.
No, I get that too. I get that. I mean, we have that. I mean, at work sometimes if someone comes to work with a cough, and I think to myself, why, you know, there are laws, you're allowed to stay at home and you even get paid. You know, why would anyone ever to come to work with a cough? And then if it turns out they did have COVID, then that really bothers me.
That's something another thing that's kind of weird to me is like when I notice things, so things have changed now, and I'm wondering why it was ever okay for it not to be that way, you know, like people going to work or school ill, you know. I never, like, and that's the thing, I would never do that to myself. Whenever I was ill, I stayed at home because, like, I mean, obviously, again, I had the privilege of living in countries where you got sick leave, or you could work from home if you were sick, or you could, you know, you would get paid despite being ill. And it wasn't a huge issue, but, you know, there are other places, like just in America, even, like, you don't get sick. And if you do, you go to work. And so the people go to the office with the flu, you know? And that's unfathomable to me. It's unfathomable to me that they don't get to just stay at home and be sick. And I knew from the very, I said at the very beginning of the pandemic, I said, I'm really worried about America because people don't stay home when they're ill because it's just not done. Like, it's the the entire culture, especially on the East Coast, is that you don't take time off when you're ill, and that it's kind of somehow in a way commendable to work even though you're ill, which is beyond me. But anyway, so I was worried, especially about New York from the very, very beginning, because I said, well, I think that because of this culture of going to work when you're ill, regardless of how you feel or how you might be impacting everyone else, it will spread like wildfire in New York and become really, really bad. And that was like a concern I had from the very beginning. And that's exactly what happened. It was New York was one of the worst hit places, especially at the beginning. And one of the reasons is exactly that, because no one stays home. Because you can't. And there are, obviously in service jobs, you don't get, like, you only get paid if you come to work, right?
Yeah.
So if you only get paid when you come to work, of course you go to work because you need the money. But even people who work in offices don't stay home when they're ill. So I think it's unbelievable that it has been up till now okay for people to just come to work when they're ill. You should be encouraged to stay home and get better for their own sake, you know, because you shouldn't put your body through that. Your body needs rest. And that is something I can, when I look back at it, I used to go to school when I was ill because it was kind of like, oh, you know, I have a test coming up or whatever. So I did sometimes force myself to leave the house when I was ill, much less than most people, though, because I have always very much not seen why I should. But it does shock me sometimes in retrospect, like how normal that was. And how was that ever normal to not stay home? You should get, you know, sick pay. And even if you, I mean, even if you work in service, you should get at least like your hourly rate at least. Like, you wouldn't get the tips, but you should get your hourly rate. But the trouble in some places is that the people who work in service completely live off their tips, you know, like in America, a lot of the service, that's all they have is the tips, because their hourly rate is like $2 per hour, you know?
I mean, of course, if you're dependent on a job which might not even be a registered job, then, you know, obviously you're fucked in a pandemic situation where everything closes down. You can't get social benefits, and I think it's been a very tough year for an awful lot of people, and still getting worse in some places. But
it's still not over.
It's nowhere near over.
Because I guess another thing is, like, so my friends, I mean, we were talking briefly about the vaccine rollout earlier, of like, how is this going to continue? Like, there's so many questions that are still open, because on the one hand, yes, there are countries, like as we're seeing right now in India, they don't have enough vaccines.
Even though they produce most vaccines in the whole world.
Yeah. They don't have access to them. And so right now there's like this, you know, incredibly terrible, I think, second wave right now over there. And the trouble is, of course, there are more and more variants developing. And, you know, so far, for the most part, what I've been hearing is that the vaccines will still be okay. But eventually there will be one, or there could be one that, you know, where none of the vaccines will work for it. And then basically the whole thing will start from scratch. So there is kind of the worry of like how to solve this, like, you know, and also like, I know that here it's been going very, very quickly so far, but my friends in Germany are telling me that they might not be eligible to get a vaccine at the rate it's going right now. They might not be eligible until like 2024. So that's like another whole thing to worry about, you know. Oh, I'm exhausted.
I think we've come quite far. I think we've reached the end of this episode, at least, about COVID. Maybe there'll be another one when we have COVID-24. I hope not. That's not going to happen. Thanks for listening, and if you haven't already, give us a follow on Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcast, etc.